It's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with New York Congressman Pat Ryan, a Democrat from the 18th District. He's been in office since 2022. Congressman Ryan, it's probably my fault, but I have a long list of stuff we haven't talked about yet this time, so let's try to do a lightning round.
That's your nice way of telling me to have shorter answers, Ian. I'm all for it.
We're in this together. So I wanted to ask about the Hudson River. You mentioned in an earlier conversation your advocacy for the river cleanup process. The third five-year review is underway as we speak. What's the update on the Hudson?
Yeah, two big ones. One, we passed, and it's really exciting and very rare these days to actually pass a bipartisan bill through the House. We passed the Hudson River Protection Act with my colleagues Mark Molinaro and Mike Lawler to the north and south. We pushed it through against very powerful lobbies and folks trying to block it, and this stops what would have been a really dangerous situation of barges being able to anchor anywhere along the Hudson. So that is a huge win. That is now permanently locked in. It goes to the Senate, and ultimately we got to get it through the Senate, but I think we can and will. So we're really proud of that one. And then, as you said, on the five-year review around PCBs, this goes back to before I was even born, where we're dealing with the PCB contamination and disaster from GE. And what's happening is there's a risk that the EPA, the federal EPA, might determine that the river is clean enough and essentially let GE off the hook. We are pushing hard, the whole community, to say that is not the case yet. We know from all the data from our partners like Riverkeeper and Scenic Hudson and others that is not the case. So we're pushing for that to be the outcome. And that was supposed to have been issued several months ago, and we're still waiting, unfortunately.
Let's go to another area now. It's been about a year since the flooding of 2023, and that really decimated parts of our listening area, including in your district. How's the recovery coming along nowadays?
Yeah, that was the July storms in Orange County in particular. Well, at the macro level, we've come a long way, and almost all the infrastructure has been addressed, bridges, roads, and so on. So that's encouraging, but we still have many families. One family, of course, who's still grieving the loss of their daughter and wife, which is tragic and horrific. And we have many families still under a tremendous burden of financial pressure from dealing with the cleanup who didn't have flood insurance, justifiably, because they lived in an area that really didn't normally merit it. So we're working with each of those families and local leaders to try to help relieve the pressure wherever we can. Including at the federal level, we actually forced through a bill that will allow folks to claim a bigger deduction on their taxes. So if you had damage to your home or your business or your property, you can claim a higher level off your taxes and save potentially thousands or even more on your taxes when we get this bill passed. We're hopeful to get a vote on the House floor very soon. We had to force it through to the floor. And then hopefully we can get it through before the end of the year here.
You know, chances are there will be more flooding. Did you learn anything from last year that you'd apply in a similar emergency this summer?
Well, I think we collectively learned a lot of lessons, and certainly the folks that heroically were on the ground saving lives and elected officials, County Executive Newhouse, other leaders, the town and village leadership, it learned a lot of lessons and did a great job. And so I think we're more prepared now. The other thing we're doing is we are pushing for additional sort of studies and assessment of, given how much and how volatile the climate is, we need to rethink which areas are really at risk, who needs flood insurance. The flood insurance situation is really a mess, and a lot of families that think they're covered often are not. So we're working with a lot of folks around that in particular. So those are some of the areas, but I think, unfortunately, we're going to see these once-a-century storms more and more frequently, unfortunately.
What's your thought on the current iteration of the Farm Bill, which is under discussion now?
Well, there's been a lot of back and forth, and it's very delayed. I am deeply concerned about the proposed bill that Republicans are trying to jam through. It would dramatically cut food assistance programs to families that are literally counting on that to feed themselves and their children. There's also some really harmful components in the proposed bill to our farms that would really hurt small local farms like ours to benefit big mega corporate farms in other parts of the country. So this has been a very partisan farm bill is what they're trying to jam through when there was an opportunity to have a bipartisan bill. So we're still fighting on that committee, but my colleagues on that committee are still fighting to try to have a more thoughtful bipartisan bill that doesn't, for example, cut SNAP benefits for millions of Americans, including tens of thousands in our district that count on it.
I think your next door colleague, Mark Molinaro, takes another view. Do you talk to him about this at all?
We've certainly talked about it. We've had some back and forth, debate on it. The bill as proposed, I think it's pretty objective, would cut both the total dollars going to food assistance and make less people eligible. I think that's a pretty objective fact. And unfortunately, it follows a long record of increasingly extreme Republicans trying to cut these benefits from poor and working people and families. So I think that is pretty indisputable.
Let me ask you about the primary that's getting a lot of attention in the lower Hudson Valley. On June 25th, Westchester County Executive George Latimer and Democratic Congressman Jamal Bowman will be facing off. Who do you want to see win that one?
I haven't really been too deep on that one, to be honest with you, and I'm just kind of focused here in the district, focused keeping my 2 and 4 year old out of trouble and trying to do all the other things we've been talking
about. What are they doing wrong?
No, they're not doing anything wrong. They're just, they're waking up too early. That they are doing. We got to get them to sleep in a little bit more. But other than that, they're great. But no, in all seriousness, I haven't weighed in. I've worked with Congressman Bowman in the delegation and also worked closely with County Executive Latimer when I was county executive. So we'll see what voters decide in the district.
What was your reaction to President Biden's latest immigration plan in lieu of the sort of grand bargain between the Senate and the White House that was eventually torpedoed by former President Trump?
Yeah, and I think it is very important and appreciated that you noted that we were very close to a historic bipartisan border and immigration reform deal. And Trump came in and spiked that. And that's very harmful to those, including myself, that care about keeping fentanyl out of the country, keeping dangerous, potentially violent criminals out of the country, while also allowing in folks who want to better their family, contribute to the economy, contribute to our country. So given that there were limited options for the president, given that there is a crisis, a humanitarian crisis, really, at the border. And so I pushed for the president to take some of these executive actions publicly, strongly, for well over a year now. So I think it was the right thing to do it. And this will help really bring order back to the border, which is a big concern for everybody, including many in the district that I talked to.
Okay, there's 1 minute left in today's segment. This is obviously getting close to election season, but what's your top priority for the rest of this congressional term as we speak here in June?
Great question. I mean, for me, I'm very focused on something I ran on and centered the campaign on, which is protecting reproductive rights and freedoms. These are core American freedoms that I risk my life for, that many have rallied for and secured, and then we saw them taken away in this Dobbs decision. There's a major Supreme Court decision coming, likely at the end of this month, that could even further erode and really rip away reproductive rights. This is related to mifepristone and other medication abortion access coming out of the Texas courts, and the decision is expected soon. So my colleague and I have a bill called the Protecting Reproductive Freedom Act that would guarantee access to medication abortion, which is used in over 50% of abortions, has been FDA approved for over 20 years. So this is something that I don't think we're talking enough about, that half the country already fundamentally lost rights in the Dobbs decision. And there's attempts to go even further here by the extreme far right. And we need legislation like this to get through. So we're trying to figure out, especially with a speaker like Johnson, who's been horrific on this issue, how to protect these rights given what we think is coming from the Supreme Court.
We've been speaking with New York Congressman Pat Ryan, a Democrat from New York's 18th district in office since 2022. Congressman Ryan, it's always great to catch up. Thanks for being a regular part of this.
Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it.